seated. Good morning to you. It's good to see everybody this morning, and we wish you a very happy Mother's Day. This is the day that's set aside to honor moms in this nation. We should honor mom all the time, but in a very special way, today is that day. And I know among our number, some have gone to be with mom, and that is appropriate. And I think it's very appropriate that we have the senior, the matriarch of our moms, able to be here today. Nana is able to be here. It's been a long time in coming. She's been desiring to be here for a long, long time, and she looks so nice and so good this morning. And there's a generational thing going on over here too with the women, that with Nana and the granddaughter and a great granddaughter and a great great granddaughter, all of them sitting together, and that's wonderful. And I know that Ernie's encouraged by that, and I know more than that, I know Nana's encouraged because she's been wanting to be here. And it fits so well to be a part of what we're doing here on Mother's Day and to have her present, but to have you present as well. We appreciate the presence of everyone, and we're thankful for your presence, and we hope that you are benefited by our time together. We hope you're encouraged by our studies together. We'll be here again tonight. Our evening worship service is at 6 o'clock. P-Packer's class is at 5:45, and we continue on with that. And the other works that are at hand. We have our quarterly, our big day, our big week is coming up, and that is our Vacation Bible School outreach to the community. We're going to be studying this year about the things having to do with the Lord's church, and that's in keeping with some of our goals and objectives for our studies here. As we invite others in, we want to get back to the basics. We don't get too far afield from what is important for those who come to visit with us. They need to understand who we are, what we are, and why we do what we do. And so this year is a very basic study in the Lord's church. We have classes for all ages. Every night the adult class will have a special speaker, and so be inviting now. That's June 13 through 17, and of course the Tennessee Bible College camp will be here in part of that, and we look forward to that every year. That's a high day and a high time for all of our folks at TBC. As Mother's Day, I usually try to put together a study or studies. Sometimes I've brought a poem or two or this or that, but today I want to do something that I think is best, and that is, without a great elaborate presentation, I'm going to get you to turn in your Bible, and you're going to be looking at my lesson outline from Proverb 31, and we are going to talk about the things of God, the way that God sees a wife and a mother on Mother's Day. I don't know how you can do any better than that. I can't bring you a better poem by man or a better writing by man. And we'll do it all different ways, but every year if we just did this, we'd be fine. What a tremendous writing. And oftentimes we quote from different aspects of Proverb 31. And specifically this morning, we use as our text verse number 10, the question, who can find a virtuous woman? Who can find a virtuous wife? It can be rendered either way. And I'm rendering it, who can find a virtuous wife and mother, because that's exactly the way the text is rendering it. That's exactly the way the writer is rendering it. And of the collections of Solomon, this is a treasured one, especially when you think about a virtuous wife, a virtuous mother. But when you think about and understand the writing of this, as we have talked many times before and tried to understand the inspiration of God, it's hard to understand all about that. We understand it in concept. We'll never fully understand that, I'm sure. But until we, at least with the Father in eternity, then we can talk to Him about it. But God inspired writers to put down words. He breathed those words through writers who put them down for all the ages and for all eternity. The Word of God. And this is the Word of God being given, and the text tells us something about it. This is a mother giving counsel to her son. In verse 1 of Proverb 31, the Bible says, the words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. Now understand, and here's some Bible information that those of you who take notes, several of you do, take notes and remember this about the book of Proverbs. Oftentimes you see this as listed as a special notation for King Lemuel. There was no King Lemuel. We can't find one. There's not one. There certainly was never one in Israel. There was not one that we can find in any record in and around Israel or anywhere at the time of the writing of this proverb. And so, as you look at it, as you consider what is said, given the context, you see that this is a mother writing to her son who is king. And as is often the case, moms give special names of love and special names of privilege, if you will, to their children. And Lemuel must have been the pet name, must have been the affectionate name of Bathsheba to her son as she is writing to Solomon these words, and Solomon writes them down for us. God inspired these words. And there's where you get into the questions of inspiration. Did he inspire Mom or did he inspire Solomon? Well, Solomon says he's the king doing the writing, so it seems to me like that he is doing the writing, but he's carrying the words that Mom had given him. And that's very interesting to think about, the words taught to him by his mother. And you see in this very beginning that as Mom writes to her son Solomon and gives him some things to live by as the king, the context again tells you something about that. He says, "What, my son?" And this is verse 2 where I am, by the way. "And what, son of my womb? And what, son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings." There tells you who is being addressed. The son, Solomon, the king. She's writing to him and saying, "Solomon, I'm going to give you some words that are very important to sustain you, to keep you from being destroyed, to help you to enjoy life and to understand the position that you have." And what better advice and what better encouragement than to come from a loving mom, and especially a mom who knew kings. Furthermore, we know a little something about Bathsheba from the scriptures. And perhaps Bathsheba is writing to Solomon based on her own errors that she had made along the way. Every parent, including yours truly, every parent tries to train our children, tries to bring up our children in a way better than the way we came up. And the mistakes that we made, we try to warn against those mistakes. We try to turn our children away from the things that we know fail because we love them. And I suggest to you that perhaps that's the very thing that Bathsheba was doing as she was writing to Solomon. She was trying to turn him away from the things that she knew she had been involved in, the things that had been harmful to Father David and to others about. And she's lived that, and she says, "Don't get into that. These things destroy kings. I want to tell you how to live and be right. I want to tell you about the virtue that needs to be there in your family." And you know, we ought to do that as parents. I've always had a little bit of a problem with parents who wanted to extol all of the indiscretions of their life. I don't think that's good for your children. I've known of parents who freely told their children about some very bad things that they had done along the way. They thought that was good. I don't think that's best. I think sometimes some things are best left unknown. And as a matter of fact, I think we might encourage evil in our children and not mean to, because our children will hear of our indiscretions and think, "Well, Dad got through and did all right. Maybe I'll try that and get by with it. Or Mom did that and got through it, and so I think maybe it's all right for me to dabble in that a little bit." We don't want to do that. I think it's best to say, and I think it's good advice to say, understand the principle. This is the way it should be. Here's the way I want you to be. And let me tell you, son, let me tell you, daughter, that I'm telling you this from experience. I know some things about what I'm telling you. That's enough. You don't have to get into all of the down and dirty details. Tell enough to encourage your children. That's everybody's decision. That's my recommendation. But here you have a mother who's writing to her son, and she's telling him things that are important to keep him as king in Israel. And as Ironside said in the comment on this, he said, "A virtuous wife, one dependable, that can be counted on in every emergency." He said, that's what this writing is about. That's what this is about. This is having to do with a mother who is saying, be prepared, son. Look for that individual that will help you to be prepared. In this reading and in this lesson that we're looking at together today from Proverbs 31, I want to give you some key terms that are found here in the lesson. First of all is the word trust. Trust is running throughout the descriptions that you see having to do with a virtuous wife. Number two is dependable. Number three, value. Number four, nurturing. Number five, industrious. Number six, kind. Number seven, honor. Number eight, compassion or compassionate. And then the last three, plans that provide for care. Those things, you could either say plans, provides, cares, if you want to. The last three, ever how you want to do it. Trust, dependable, value, nurturing, industrious, kind, honor, compassionate, plans, provides, and cares. Maybe that's the best way to list. Those are all terms that are contained in this requisite, in this declaration of a virtuous woman. And there are some references I'd like for you to notice that are not found in this quickly. One of them is sexy. Not a word said about being sexy. There's not a word in here about being attractive. And we'll say more about that in just a moment. There's not one word or reference that stands about being loud. There's not one that's in this that has to do with being superior. There's not one mention of a mom or a wife being weak. There is no mention of demanding or even independent. None of these terms are given in this. These terms can be found in passages like Proverbs 7, Proverbs 11, and other places where you find a loud woman. And there the reference is not good. There the reference is very bad for the ones that fit into these things. And yet today, if you ask individuals to write about mom and to talk about mom, and if you look on social media, too often you see moms, even sometimes Christian moms, who are desiring sexy. They want to be known as a sexy mom. Well, that's not what the scripture says. And that's not what this has to do. Virtue is not found in being sexy. And especially not being sexy to those outside of those in your family. It is more directed to those things that have to do with trust and providing and working together as a family member for the good of the family. And that's what I want you to note. A virtuous woman. And the question in verse 10, who can find a virtuous wife? You know, it was a hard job then, and it's a hard job today. Very difficult job to find a virtuous wife. And that's why the encouragement from mom to Solomon. Who can find this woman, Solomon? Who, if anybody's going to, you need to. Because it has all to do with your work. From here on, in verses 10 to following, we have what is called an alphabetical acrostic. Each one of these verses starts with a letter in the Jewish, the Hebrew alphabet. Now, your English Bible will not reflect that because our alphabet does not follow the Jewish alphabet. But if you are looking at this in Hebrew, and for those Hebrew children and those coming up back in the day as they studied in the synagogue, as they studied in the temple, they understood this and they could remember this based on the alphabet. So each one of these encouragements follows the Hebrew alphabet, and it's written on a Hebrew acrostic from verses 10 through verse 31. So quickly, I want to look at the passage with you, and I want to highlight some things, and let's learn a little bit about what God wants us to know about a wife and a mother. First of all, a virtuous wife brings value. In verse number 10, as we see the question raised, who can find a virtuous wife? Her value is discussed right there in the parallelism that comes, or the answer to the question. Her worth is far above rubies. How can we state that? How can we say that in the way that we understand it, in the way that we talk today? I'll tell you how you say that. You say that her worth is priceless. A virtuous woman is priceless. And as a virtuous woman, her work is to take care of and be a keeper at home. Titus chapter 1 tells us that. But also in her work as a wife and a mother, it's very interesting to note, in Proverbs 1 and verse 8, in Proverbs 6 and verse 20, the Bible says, "My son, hear the instructions of your father." Listen, here comes mom. "And do not forsake the law of your mother." I want you to note what is said in both of those places, because the way God designed the home, mom is law enforcement. So those who are in law enforcement should understand that. And those of us who know something about law enforcement should understand it. The father is responsible to God for the direction of home, but mom is to implement the laws. Mom is to implement and to carry out and be the enforcer of the things at home. And so this declaration given to us about a virtuous wife, a virtuous mom, this is important to note that mom has all to do with the direction of home. It's mom who builds the family, and our term trust comes in verse 11. "For the heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he can have no lack of gain." Do you understand what this is saying? Do you understand the context of what's going on here? As the writer is giving this, as this instruction comes from mom to her son, by inspiration we have it, and the inspiration is this. The inspiration is mom can be trusted. You don't have to worry about her out flitting around on the town. You don't have to worry about her being out trying to attract someone else. She's faithfully serving her home. She's faithfully serving her family. And what it does is it frees her husband up to do his work without worry. Therefore, his work brings gain to the family. Now, all through this discourse on wife and mother, and a virtuous wife and mother, all through this discourse, you have this constant theme running of the unity of family and the good of family and the building up of family. Here you have it. She brings trust into that home so that there's no lack of gain. She does him good, her husband, and not evil, all the days of her life. They've made a lifetime commitment. Did any of you make that commitment? When you pledged your love to your spouse, did you say that you were going to be faithful in sickness and in health, in adversity and in prosperity? And then something went on to the point where it said, "Until death do you part," or "Until death severs the tie." Ever how the one leading your pledge said it? They said, "Until death comes, you're going to be faithful, loyal, and true." That's exactly the picture of Scripture. That's exactly the picture that God gives. She is faithful to her husband all of her days. She provides, number two, under this understanding here of what she brings to the home in bringing value. She provides. Verse 13, "She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands." She's doing all she can to make things good for her family in every way. She's trying to provide. She's trying to make sure that her family has good things. She is like the merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. She gets out and searches. They had no supermarket to go to. They couldn't go to Kroger. They couldn't go to Sam's Wholesale or out to Walmart. She had to get out and find the food. That was the delineated duties of mom and wife in the day. And to take care of her family, she worked hard to find good food. She didn't just provide anything. A good mom, a virtuous wife, is one who's trying to provide the very best. She's bringing value in doing that. She brings good food like the merchants from afar. She goes searching for good things for her family to build their health up and to make them better. She also rises while it's yet night. Early in the morning, she wakes up to provide food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She's productive even to the excess so that she can care for those who are not even in her immediate family. She doesn't mind getting up early in the morning. She doesn't mind providing for those, even planning to do that so that she can make things possible for her family. Verse 16 goes on in the same idea. The value she brings. She considers a field and buys it. From her profit she plants a vineyard. This isn't saying, this verse is not telling us that mom ought to be in real estate. That's not what this is. This isn't a statement of being a real estate agent. As a matter of fact, it's quite different than that. What it's saying is that whatever it takes to provide for her family, she's willing to do it. And she's planning ahead. And specifically on this verse, if you want to write a term that goes there, the term that we've already noted, put in there plan. Planning. She plans. That's what this is all about. She's planning ahead so that in the event that she can't get the grapes that she needs for her family. And by the way, you all know as Bible students that grapes were a staple back in that day and in that time. If she can't get the grapes needed for her family, then she's made a plan so that she's got a backup. I've got a resource. I've got a way. In the event that I can't get what I need, I've got it. I've found a field. I've got a place where I can provide for my family and I can have a vineyard there. She's benevolent. Verses 17 through 19. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. This doesn't mean she has a membership at the YMCA. It doesn't mean that she's a power lifter or that she is in some competition here. What it means is as a mother and as a wife and as a virtuous wife, she takes on strength to do what she needs to do. She has a benevolent feeling for her family. And she builds herself to the place to do what has to be done. And I've seen that. And I suspect that you have as well in dealing with young girls who become women and become moms. You've seen some women who were very skittish about some things. Some of them would cringe at seeing a little blood, or they would fall back and lose power when they would see certain things happen or have to clean up certain messes. But when it comes to family, that's all different. Those young ladies, those young girls that once were a little bit squeamish about having to do certain things, they take on strength. Why? Because of love of family. And that's what is being discussed here. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arm. She rises to the occasion to do the work that is needed there. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out all night. Look in your Bible, if you have a reference Bible, look in your Bible there at verse 18 and see if it says she tastes. Does anybody's Bible say that? She tastes. And it's good. And the literal rendition here is she is testing and proving her work all along the way. As a mother does when she cooks food for her children, she tests it. And I've seen that many times. I've seen my mom do that. I saw my grandmother do that. As she used to cook, she had a huge family on my dad's side. She had 9 kids to have to prepare for, and her husband, and then also workers that were there on the farm from time to time. And I've seen Granny, as she would be mixing up the food, and I've seen her put her finger down in there and test it. Have you ever seen anybody do that? I've seen Mom take the food out and put a little bit on the plate and give it a little test to make sure it's good. There is the image of this virtuous woman. She tests her work. She looks at it. She tests it to see that it's good. And she's willing to stay up all night to make sure that it's right. She's willing to stay up all night to provide for her family and to provide for those about her. She stretches out her hand to the distaff, and her hand holds the spindle. Now, the best way that I can tell you this is the old saying that you've heard about men, and that is, he doesn't mind putting his hand to the plow. That's exactly what he's only here. The distaff and the spindle is, back in those days, they had to weave their own fabric. They had to do their own weaving at home. And so the shuttle had to move back and forth to make those fabrics. And so she's got her hand to the shuttle. She's got her hand to the distaff, ready to work. That's the picture. That's what is a reference here. She brings value to the family because she's ready to work for the good of her family. And verse 20, here's where benevolence comes in. Not only does she care for her family, but she sees the need for the poor. Extends her hand to the poor, and she reaches out her hands to the needy. Mom provides not only for her own, but she's got a mind and an eye for those who need help along the way. That is a virtuous wife. That is a virtuous mom. She builds relationships. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for she has prepared for it. For all her household is clothed with scarlet. She builds the relationships at home. Value. She brings value there because she has provided and helped provide her children with warm clothing, and all with warm clothing. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Verse 22. And here I want you to note that this is not saying that she's high-minded and that she steps out with the cutting edge of fashion, but rather what this is saying is she presents herself well in all cases. She dresses so that she does not bring dishonor to her family. When she steps out, she's dressed well for every occasion. She doesn't go to church in old tattered clothes. She doesn't go out in public in a distasteful way. She goes out where people look and have respect for her and say, "Do you know who she is? Do you know whose wife that is? Do you know whose mom that is?" You see, Mom, it matters. It matters how you look. When I was preparing the lesson and looking at this, I thought about a lady that I never met that was in our family, but I heard about her. I heard about her from my dad and my aunts and uncles and even my grandparents. And the two words that were always given to this lady, she was in our family back down the line. Everybody said she was nasty and that she was filthy dirty all the time. That she never presented, she was always nasty, dirty, filthy, and shameful to be seen. And I remember my dad telling me, and I think maybe I've shared this once before, my dad said, when you go to her house, he said she'd have the blackest, dirtiest feet you've ever seen. He said, I don't think she ever washed herself. And that's the way everybody in the family said. That's the opposite of what is being discussed right here. When Mom, a virtuous woman, presents herself, she presents herself very well. Why? Because she represents the family. Again, adding value, bringing value to the family and not bringing them down. And notice the result of that. Her husband is known in the gates. When he sits among the elders of the land, they know who he is. Why? Because she's built him up and not torn him down. It's not a matter where the men gather and they say, "Poor old," fill in the blank, so-and-so. "Poor old Solomon. Have you seen his sorry wife? Do you know what she's been into?" It's not that at all. When they gather in the gates, when the elders get together, when the men of the city get together, they know this family because they're well cared for by this mom, by this pure mom, this virtuous wife. Number two, she brings strength to the family. Devotion through the work that she does. She makes garments, verse 24, and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Again, she goes above what is required. She's so good at what she does, she makes it possible for even her work to be sold. And it is also contained in this that her work is so highly regarded by those looking in that they desire it. "Would you make something for me? Would you make something? Maybe we could sell those." I've known of some ladies who have been good at different things like sewing and crafts, so that the public would say to them, "How about in your spare time, would you make a few things that we can sell?" And the ladies would do that to help support their family. That is exactly what this is all about. Her work is so good that others notice. That brings strength. That brings strength to the family. Not only that, strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. That is loyalty. She's loyal to her family, and the strength that she's put in and the labor that she's done at home as she works as the valued wife, the virtuous wife, as she works at home, that strength and that loyalty is seen in years to come. She can rejoice in years to come because great things come from the work that she's done, from her labor. Loyalty is built up there at home by this good and virtuous woman. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She doesn't go around telling stories. She doesn't go around with gossip. She doesn't go around tearing down people, being smug and ugly, but rather she watches her words. She's careful. She crafts her words so that the things that she says are well received, and so that the things that she says are timely and worth hearing. And so that the things that she says do not bring backlash on the family and do not bring harm to those that she loves. She weighs her words. She speaks words of wisdom. Wisdom comes from God, you know. That's what the beginning of Proverbs is all about. To give wisdom to the simple, Solomon said, 1 in verse 4. And so this virtuous woman must be in tune with God to be able to be honored and regarded in the way that the writer here is writing. She has consulted God, if you will. She's consulted God's word. And when she speaks carefully and she speaks with kindness so as to bring the very best and not to tear down and to hurt. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. She's not lazy. She's a team player. She's in it for the good of everybody. She's in it to build up the family and to encourage everyone. She's a team player. She brings strength. Number 3, she brings purity. And that's seen in verses 28 and following. Verse 28, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you exceed them all. She is one who has exemplary characteristics. She's seen for all the things that we've talked about. And in that is purity. Individuals see this lady is virtuous. You know, a person living virtuously before God and before the world does not need a billboard to advertise it. A lady who's living virtuously as a mom and a wife and a mother, that lady doesn't have to take out ads in the newspaper. A lady that's living virtuously and for the Lord does not have to post on Facebook and TikTok and whatever else to tell everybody what a good woman she is. She doesn't have to put her name out there before the world and advertise who she is. Everybody's going to know who she is and know what she is by the good actions of her life. You see, there's something to think about there, because there are a lot of things these days in social media that are posted. And not all of those things are worthy of a Christian lady. Not all those things should be put out there. And some people put every family secret out on the public domain so that everybody can see it. Even sharing the problems in marriage sometimes for all the world to see. Some folks even put out the problems that they perceive in the church so that all the world can see it. And it does great harm. It does great harm, number one, to them. And it does harm to family when you do that. This virtuous woman, let me ask you, what do you think her post would look like on Facebook? What do you think her post would be like in social media? What pictures would she put out? You know, it's something to think about, folks. It's very serious matter, because all of that has to do with us, and all of that has to do with the way that we're perceived. This woman does wonderful things in purity, and the world knows it. And many daughters have done well, but none excel her, because she is an example for all to see. Verse 30 says something that's very interesting. And that is, in the way that this lady presents herself, says, charm and is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she will be praised. You know, these days, things get stretched, stuffed, removed, adjusted, carved and trimmed and this and that. And everybody trying to stay young. Everybody trying to change the ways of life. And let me tell you something, it's not going to change a bit of it. Because everybody here is going to get old if you live long enough. And you're going to look old. And that youthful beauty is going to be gone whether you like it or not. And you can stretch all you want to and it's still not going to change that. As a matter of fact, it's going to start to look absurd after a little while. And I think some of you have seen some of that through the years. The fact is, there must be something more to life than this physical appearance. And there is. And this virtuous woman is not one. Oh, it's not saying she was an ugly woman. That's not what Mom's saying. So I'm going to go find the ugliest woman you can find. That's not what he's being encouraged to do. What she's saying is, Solomon, you understand what's most important. And you love that. Love the virtue. Love the purity of this woman. And love who she is. Because these things having to do with beauty, charm, and all of that is deceitful. It's going to go away. Life is going to take those things away. And this is going to demand that you love something more than that physical body. Why do you suppose we have so many divorces in the land today? I think right here is part of it. A lot of folks bought in on the skin, but not on what comes behind it. Not on the person. They've just bought in on the skin. And they've bought the Hollywood scheme. And as a result of that, we have individuals that as they start to get older, then they start to separate. They start to chase the newer model. They want to trade like you do a car. Want to go and trade in for the newer model. Ladies, don't fall for that. Men, don't fall in that trap. Because once you do, there is no end to that. There's no good end to it, to be sure. All these things that have to do with the physical are vain. But a woman who fears the Lord, she'll be praised. She'll be truly praised in the end. She's worthy of praise. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. She's worthy of praise, this woman we've talked about this morning. Who does God say is sexy, attractive, clamorous, demanding, independent, one that is foolish, a harlot, a stranger? And yes, God even calls the woman a whore in Proverbs 23:27. It's not the woman we've been talking about. It's those who are quite different than this. And it's interesting there in Proverbs 23:27, when he deals with that woman that is a whore or a harlot, connected to that is also drunkenness. Always interesting to look at the connections that the Bible gives. What does the world sell today? The world sells that as the way you do it. You got to have a few drinks. You got to get out and drink a little while. And then you find the good-looking women. Then you find your life's mate, and the one that I've told you before, the one that I despise. You find your soul mate for a little while. For a little while until the skin changes, and then the soul mate's gone, and all is lost. You see, that's foolishness. All of that is foolishness. And God knew that, and that's why he put this here for us to see and to understand. Four things, especially to our young folks, but to mom and dad and to grandma and all others. Understand it was a challenge then, and it's a challenge now to find a virtuous woman. Number one, out of these four things, remember this. You marry who you date. You better date the right folks because you're going to marry one of them. You marry who you date. Number two, don't accept just anyone that'll have you. I've heard preachers give advice to young men and say, well, if she'll have you, then you ought to get it. No, I wasn't looking for just anyone that'd have me. I was trying to find the best one I could find that I thought would be compatible with me because I figured if we're going to live a whole life together, I better have somebody that will meet the criteria that will help me get through to the end. That's the way you ought to. Finding just anyone that will have you is not going to be very productive of good and may bring a lot of challenges. You see, it takes work. That's number three. It's hard work to find the woman we've been talking about today. It's hard work to find the virtuous woman. And as a matter of fact, that is an ongoing work in the family because you don't marry somebody that is like we've described here. They have to develop into that. And that takes a husband and a wife working together and encouraging each other. And number four, find a good Christian who will make a home and a family complete. That's the only way that a home and a family will be complete is when you find a Christian. When you find somebody who will help you get to heaven, you found it all. That's completeness. That's what the term often rendered in Scripture is perfect. That is the perfect home right there, complete as God would have it to be. Obey the gospel of Christ. Live for him. Follow instructions like this that we've talked about this morning. I know there wasn't anything fancy about this, but I'll tell you what, there's more than the 40 minutes that I've spent contained in these verses. I commend them to you to study on your own and grow. And let's be more like God would have us to be. So to the Lord's invitation, come while we stand, while we sing.